Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll pass in review. Then we're going to get in some good stuff. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. What agreement had the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple. You are the temple of the living God. And if you think about that, everyone met with God in the temple. God manifested his glory in the temple. God spoke to Moses in the temple. The Holy of Holies was in the temple. And you're that temple now. God changed all of that. He put all that in you. Amen. As God has said, I will dwell in them. You got to get that revelation. You know why he came and created a tabernacle in the first place? You know, back even from Leviticus. I got to show you this right here real quick. He said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and be their God. So he's dwelling in you, right? Now watch what he says in verse 18, and I'll be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters. Now where is he at? Dwelling in you, right? So watch what he says, dwelling in you. Look what he says on 17. That verse he's speaking from within you. He's saying, wherefore he saith, he says, come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You see that? He's calling you out of the world. He's calling you into you. He's calling you in. That's a high call of God. That's in Christ Jesus. I saw that the other day. He goes, let us press for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ. You're going to find the high call of God. You're going to have to go into Christ to find it. The prize of the high call of God is in him. It's not in the outer court, I tell you that. He says, come out from among them, be separate. I'll receive you into the veil. You will be in me. I'll be a father to you. You will be my sons. I will dwell in your temple. Isn't that good? Leviticus chapter 26, verse 11. And from the beginning, he set his plan up. Now, this was the tabernacle that he created in the wilderness. Tent of meeting is what tabernacle means. The tent of meeting. Said, I'll set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. I will walk among you. I'll be your God, and you shall be my people. Even then, see, because Adam, we were separated from God, he didn't want the separation. So he creates the tabernacle. He says, this is as close as I can get to you. On the outside was badger skin. On the inside was this fine, I think it was the interior of a lamb skin, real soft skin. See, that's what it is. Inside, everything's soft, and the rough badger skin, that's you, see, the flesh. Now, we try to make it softer, Max Factor and all of that, you know, Revlon, whatever. You know, they try to dress up the badger skin a little bit, you know, but we're still flesh. But God wanted to dwell in us, so he creates this tabernacle. Amen? He has this tabernacle. He says, I want to be with you. This will be my witness. They call it a tent of witness. He goes, where I lead you in the tabernacle, just follow the tabernacle, but I want to be right there with you. And it's a witness to you that a day will come that I'll put this tent inside you. But it's a witness to you that I want to be with you. I can't right now. I can't put this tent inside you because there's a sin nature. There's a consciousness of sin. So I can't come and dwell in tabernacle inside you, but it's as close as I'll get. And so he creates the tabernacle. David picks this up in the spirit. He understood what God wanted because David saw way beyond his years. He saw a dimension in God, and he prophesied it through the Psalms that he knew God was going to come and dwell in man. He wanted to build a tabernacle for God, but he understood. He says each time, even when Moses went up, he said, see that you do it according to the pattern that I give you. He tells David the same thing. He brought him in and he says, see that you build this according to the pattern. You got to build God's way. There's a pattern that we build and build in and build with. Amen? And we don't build it right, if we don't enter into it right, you build the temple now by faith. You don't build it by works. That thing is built by the Word of God and the revelation of the Word of God in you. The temple is forged and formed. Jesus come in and build the house, but for the indwelling glory of God, the Word of God must bring light to that place. Amen? And if light's not brought to the interior part of you, then you'll operate on the exterior part of you. And you'll wait for God to put an anointing upon you. Amen? That's how most ministers minister. Do you know that? They wait for God to put an anointing on them. Drop an anointing on me. Very few operate out of the interior veil of the Father dwelling in us. See, that's how Jesus operated. Whole different operation. Amen? But they saw that. So let's look at this. Psalms 27, verse 3. This is awesome. The Lord, he told him, if you love me, you'll keep my words, and my Father and I will come and dwell in you. And they said, well, which words do I keep? Do I need to be good in an area? That's not what he's talking about. Keeping his law, he was talking about actually holding that word. The sower sowed the word in your heart. Remember, we talked about how you hear the word, receive the word, keep the word. Remember when they came, that same spirit they wanted to worship Mary, that started way back then, says, blessed is the womb that bore you. That's where that spirit came from, wanted to bring that glory to her. He said, yea, rather, blessed are those that hear my words and keep them. That's how you're going to find me. Blessed are those that hear my words and keep them. Amen. Well, the Lord, he'll give you that word. He's given me two. Now, this is the third one. In the last 3 weeks, he's given me three words to hold in my heart. The first one was the temple. He goes, I will dwell in you. I will walk in you. I'll be a father. I held that word for a whole week. What do you mean you held it? I held it. I interacted with it. I planted it. I cultivated. I'd be sitting there and I said, Father, he said, I will dwell in you. I am your temple, the living God. I must have said that probably 60, 70 times a day. Now, you don't have to do all that. But you got to do something. Amen. And that word just kept going and going. And I was having a wonderful time. Then he gave me that second one. If you work one, he'll give you another one. Then he gives me this third one. But I'm doing all of them. The more he adds, the better. It just gets bigger. See, because I'm building according to the pattern. Everything's opening the heart to a brand new place in him. The second one he gave me was out of 1 John chapter 3, where he says, if any man confess Jesus, anyone confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him. He says, the Father dwelleth in him. And he and the Father, he goes, we've known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love. Now, when he said that, oh, what's that mean to you? He that dwelleth in love. Well, you know, when the love of God is, that's not what he was saying. You know, when the love of God comes on me, I just feel good. I'm dwelling in love. That's not what he was talking about. You know what he's saying? Oh, man, when that light came, it launched me. Remember Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am in the Father, I'll bring you to where I am. And he says, we've known and believed the love that God hath to us. God, and he's talking about Father. The Father is love. And he that dwelleth in love. He was actually saying, you're in the Father because Jesus put you in the Father. I dwell in the Father. I dwell in love. I'm in you, Father, so I'm in love, and love is in me. I'm in love. I'm in love. I'm in love. True things of God will never appeal to the flesh. The deep things of God, but man, they'll appeal to the spirit. See, the spirit's always willing, but that flesh gets weak. Amen. But you dwell in the mind. I sat around that word for another week, but then I got this one. This is a great one. This was David. Now, let's read this. You ready? Psalms 27. Now, what do you do with these? When the Holy Spirit enlightens a word, you take that and you interact and you hold it and keep it and understand it and receive it and keep it and set your focus upon and speak and interact with it in the veil of your heart. That's how this opens the realm of the heart. That's how it opens the realm of fellowship. I can tell you right now, I love the worship music, and I used to just so depend upon it. I couldn't even hardly ever have a service without the worship just being perfect. I would just go crazy. Everything was about the worship, because I rode the worship. Now this place is so much deeper. I'm like, this is good. We're going to be the other place because the music's just distracting for me right now. Because the other place is so much powerful. You can go in there. It's so rich in there. Amen. I don't need the music because I'm in there with him and the word. The music's fine. I'm not against any of that at all. But there's a deeper place that you don't have to have music to go right in with. Now, what I'm looking for is the Asaph government that's going to pull the sound of the apostolic, pull the sound of oneness with the Father. Now, that's going to have a different anointing upon it. That's going to have the glory of God upon it. That stuff's going to deliver into the veil. It's the sound of the Holy of Holies, see. That's coming. Mark my words, there will be an apostolic office. When you'll see it come upon this nation, when that apostolic office released, there'll be a sound from heaven that'll come with it. When that sound, it's going to shake cities. It's going to shake everything. The world does not respect the church right now, but they will respect it. The world laughs at the church right now. They laugh at the church, but there's going to be a day they'll stop laughing. Oh, and that's going to take the apostolic office to make that happen. Amen. That's coming in. All right, here's Psalms 27, verse 3. Though a host should encamp against me. Listen to it. Man, though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me. Man, you hear what he's saying? Though a host would come out against him and war would rise against you, in this I will be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord. One thing that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. Now, there was no temple. David hadn't built it, because David didn't build it. Solomon built it. But one thing, there was tabernacle. I mean, there was a house, the tabernacle that covered the Holy of Holies, but there was no temple. He goes, one thing I desire, to dwell in the house. There was no house built. David understood where we were going. In fact, Romans 4 listed him and Abram as men that receive what was called accounted righteousness. The reason why the tabernacle of God could not move into the heart of a man because of sin. But there were people in the Old Testament that ventured into a covenant that didn't belong to them. Abraham did it. David did it. It was listed in Romans 4. And their faith reached into a place because they foresaw it from a distance. See, David foresaw that God would dwell with man. He foresaw that the secret place of the Most High would dwell in man. He foresaw the whole plan of the whole tabernacle and the building of the temples was just a foreshadow of what God really wanted, was to build the tabernacle, the tent of witness, and the temple within man. He knew that God wanted to inhabit man. He wanted to be in you, not outside. He knew it. He foresaw it. And he reached into that dispensation that didn't belong to him. He prophesied to it. He was able to enter into places. He spoke of the right hand of God before Jesus ever entered into the right hand of God. He saw the whole thing. And so he entering in, and God did not hold the sin against him. And God moved in, see. And he was able to experience what you and I get free. It didn't even belong to him. Couldn't go there. But he was able to go there out of accounted righteousness because God did not account the sin to him. In other words, he operated by MasterCard. I can't afford it right now because I'm indebted to sin, but I'm going to give you this MasterCard, and he promises, and I believe he promises to come and pay it later. He'll pay this place, but I want what I see now. I want to see. I want what I see. I see that God wants to dwell with man. He wants his temple in man. So one thing, Father, I desire, though a host should encamp around about me. Notice you see, he says, though a host would come around and war would rise against me from the outside. This one thing I've desired, that I may dwell in your house. I want to be in the Son whom I am forerunning for. I am a forerunner for the Son, but this one thing, that I may dwell in the house forever, and then behold the beauty of the Lord. See, he knew the Lord. He knew the beauty of the Lord. He saw it. He was able to come in there and then inquire in his temple, make supplication, present his requests, making them known to God in the temple. See, it's in the temple you pray. See, he come into the temple of God. Until you get that revelation, you're going to keep being out here too much. But once you start coming in, it's in the temple. I pray, I dwell with the Father in the temple, and the Father dwelleth in me. Jesus dwelleth in me in the temple. The Holy Ghost abideth in me forever. The temple of God is with man. Revelation's right there said, hey, the temple of God is with man. The temple of God is with man. The tabernacle of the Most High God is with man now. He did it. It's what he wanted. He's going to dwell in us forever. We are living stones corporately, and we're individual temples as well. And Christ resides as a high priest over us. Man, I'm in there all one thing, Father. The war should rise against me. I don't care what's going on the outside. What did he say? He said, in the world you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world, but in me you'll have peace. This is what David was saying. The war rise against me. Though an enemy would encamp against me out here, I can come into you. This is one thing I desire, to dwell in your house. The house of God is in you. Christ is the house inside you. He's the house. You come in through the doorway of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I dwell in you. I behold your beauty. War is on the outside. Beauty's on the inside. The enemies are camping around about me all the time. David said, my enemies are around about me always. Sometimes you ought to rejoice that you got enemies around you, because that's what drives you into God. It drives you in. If your life's perfect all the time, Mary Poppins perfect, you're not going to be very hungry for God. When you go through some things, it gets you in position. But now we know where we're going. We're going into the interior veil of the temple. I want Holy of Holies. Or take me home. I don't want to live in the outer court. Once I taste the Holy, I said, God, I'm tasting of things I've never tasted before. He said, we're just getting started. I said, bring me further in. Bring me further in, Lord. Take me in to the eternal love of the Father. Take me in the eternal love of the Father. I don't want to come out, but just to give away what I got, and I want to go back in. That's what these apostles found when Jesus gave that to them in the upper room, and he says, let us arise hence, in the end of chapter 15. Well, there was two more chapters he taught in the upper room, but he said, let us arise hence. They got up. He introduced them into the veil of the Father. These men knew the Father. They understood how to come into the oneness in the abiding place, and every one of them gave their lives for God. Oh man, they lost it. I heard that Bartholomew, he was the one, pretty gruesome. He was the one that got filleted, wasn't it? Yeah. They filleted him. Do you know that? Do you know that he knew they were going to do it, and he walked in there and he says, Lord, I've been looking for this day all my life. I was waiting for the anticipation I could offer my final sacrifice to you. I freely give my body for the final sacrifice. I'm not telling you you're going to go martyr. I'm just telling you the extent of this glory and this love that dwelleth in you. You'll get the revelation of what can man do to you. All the body you're wearing is a shell. God's living in you. What can man do to you? I know we're not all there yet, but when God starts coming up, he casts out all the fear. See, you don't care. You can't do that on your own. You think that God wants you to go love everybody with your own love? How far has that gotten any of us? Because somebody's going to rub you wrong in a full gospel setting. Full gospel, they're going to rub you wrong. You're going to get a chance to love. See, he never wanted you to try to generate love. Well, you husband and wives know what I'm talking about. You get to live with each other all the time. You understand? You're not supposed to generate love out of yourself. But if you don't tap into the indwelling presence of the Father where his love gets loosed in you, then you go back to your love. And that's what's wrong with the church. They're operating far below because they really haven't tapped what he is and where he is. And that's what we're trying to do here. I was explaining that to somebody today. He said, what is your vision? I said, my vision is to go in to find the indwelling presence of the Father, the indwelling love of the Father, the indwelling glory of the Father that's in Christ's name, and to release that inside and then let the Holy Ghost release it outwardly. Until we find that, then we're just operating with a little bit of mixture. Otherwise, we go back, God anoint me, but I'll just be a heathen the rest of the week. You ever seen somebody get anointed and you know that they got issues? If you had God anoint them, you go, how's he doing? They walk up in there and they got the anointing on them and said, look at that anointing. And all of a sudden you get around them and said, I don't like you. There's nothing in their flesh you like, but when they're in anointing, they're perfect. That's because God's anointing them. You'll never get a revival with that kind of operation. Never. That is not what Jesus operating in. That was the gift realm that came upon the Corinthian church. It was the most carnal of all churches. God said, I'm going to use you in your carnality. I'm going to do it severally as the Holy Ghost wills, because I will express myself until my church grows up. But the one Jesus operated in was with fellowship and the indwelling presence of the Father that conquered all things. And the more he conquers you, the more he'll conquer through you. You've got to be conquered first. To him that overcometh, I'll grant to sit with me at the right hand of my Father. You got to let that overcome. You got to get in there and say, turn loose, Father. Oh, turn loose, Father. One thing! There's one thing I desire! That I may dwell in your house. Christ, you are the house. I step in to behold your beauty. I got caught up in that. I wanted to leave three times. I couldn't leave. It was so good. It was the glory, the love was so good. I got to go and rest before service tonight and just a little bit more. Just a little bit more for another hour. I'm going to go back in tomorrow. It's getting good in there now. See, you are a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in the light. You're a partaker of the inheritance. The inheritance is in Christ. He's in the light. You go in there and you partake of his life. You partake of his divine nature. You partake of his blessing. Partake of his power, his riches, his wisdom, his strength, his honor, his glory. I'm not going to just stop with intimacy. I want all of it. I've seen it all. We spent a year in the right hand of God so we could see what was in there. So now it's in us. I know what's in there. I know what's in his name. I know when you pray in his name, you got to know what's in his name. Look at this, verse 5. In the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. You got to learn where that pavilion is. That pavilion's within. He's going to hide you in that. You got to learn to be hidden. And now you're just going to get beat up. Hey, listen, I'm going to give you a revelation. In the secret of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. I'm going to give you a revelation. You've already signed up for God. Once you go so far, the devil will never leave you alone. You can run, but you can't hide from him. I ran. I know in the early days, I prayed myself up into a, met a strong man. That guy come at me and was wrecking my life because I didn't know what I was doing. I was just a baby, but I started praying 6 hours a day and he goes, that won't do. That strong man came at me and was wrecking machine. I couldn't get away from him. I moved to Tulsa, back here, almost moved to Austin, came back here, then moved to Memphis, came back, Dallas, yeah, moved there, came back, was on my way to Florida. I was trying to relief. I wasn't moving. I kept saying I'm moving for God. I was trying to run from him. I'm not kidding. He got me down to such a degree, he was pinning me down. I went to a psychiatrist. Nobody knows this. I actually went to one of these city psychiatrists because he was just exploding my head. And I went in there and that guy goes, what are you in here for, son? I said, I don't know. I love God and I pray all the time. And sometimes I'm in the glory of God. But when I get out, this thing comes at me and it just wrecks my mind. I just feel like I'm going to lose it. And he goes, well, son, I don't know what I can actually do for you in a situation like that. But let me prescribe this medication to you. He gets me a prescription and I go and I'm about to take one. And the Lord speaks to me in my car. He goes, what is the Son of the Most High God doing with that? Throw it out. That was the life. Went in the ministry, didn't change much. But now I'm learning how to escape him. If you don't know where you're going, he'll never leave you alone. If you don't know how to escape into God, he'll pound your lights out for the rest of your life. I know ministers been walking with God 50, 60, 70 years. I know ones that have been walking a long time and he just pounds them and pounds them and they just get good at taking it. Sometimes you just get good at taking it. Some of them we're just good at taking it. I don't want to take it anymore. I learned to escape now. But I learned if I don't know how to get in there, he can't follow me in there, see. And he knows he can't follow me. And when I come back out, I got a shield around me. I got a shield so he tries to hit against me and it falls off. It's a light affliction, see. Because I got a shield around me, the war that rises against me and this thing I'll be confident. Hide me in thy tabernacle, in the secret place of thy tabernacle. See, he'll hide you up in there. See, that's why he sent us into the right hand of God for a year, to show us how far above it was. See, we ascended for a whole year to show us how far above it was. He wanted us to know how far it was. And then he brought it all down and said, now all that you saw up there is in you. Because it's in Christ, it's in you. But know for certainty that Christ is in you. He's seated far above this world system. When you go into him, the world system don't go up in there. The devil don't go up in there. He's cut off from that place because it's far above his system. And you got to know that. What's going on the inside of you is far above. Say far above. There's a tabernacle of Christ in you. And it's one thing I desire. You can tell I've been in the scripture. Oh, that I may seek after all the days to dwell in your house, Jesus. To behold your beauty. I got caught up in that. Behold your beauty. See, you dwell, you behold, then you ask. Don't run up in there in Father's lap and start asking. Spend time dwelling. Spend time. But don't be afraid to ask. Some people say, well, I can't ask him anything. He loves you. You better start asking him. If you don't ask him, you're not going to get anything. You need to ask. Well, I think I just love him. No. You ask. You got to ask. Amen. Now, let's look at this other scripture. Matthew 6 means a lot more now. It says, when you pray, enter into your closet, the inner sanctuary, you're entering into the temple. Come through the door of Christ, come into the temple where God is, in the Father which is in the secret. And I've been saying this, the secret place of the Most High is what? In you. Psalms 91 is in you. Mm-hmm. You got to get renewed. I know it's difficult. I tell you, when we were in ascension mode, I told Pastor, I said, you know, I can't go in. That's just totally unnatural. I even said it on the MP3s. I said, it's too unnatural to go in. You know why it was unnatural? I had no compass. I thought I was going into me. See, it wasn't until the revelation came. Now get this. It was the revelation that defined the place I was going. Once the revelation came, it was easy to move in because I was moving by revelation and it began to build the temple that was already there. I'll say it like this. It began to bring light to the temple that was already there. If you have no grid, if you have no light, no revelation, there's no compass, there's no anchor in there. You're just going somewhere for a feeling. And when the feeling comes, oh, he's there. You can't do that. You move by revelation. You move by the word. You see that? And it brings the light, and it's all there. It's got all this stuff up in your attic. You got all this really cool stuff. But because it's dark, you can't see it. But when the light comes on, look at all that stuff up in there. God's up in there. He dwelleth in darkness until you turn the light on. You got to get a scripture, start working it. Say, I did that. It's not working yet. Well, keep planting. Keep cultivating. Spend some time every day. It will turn. You're only talking about one of the highest levels of operating in God there is. God the Father dwelling in your temple, in you. They couldn't even approach him on the mount. Didn't want to approach him. Go to Hebrews 8 real quick. Show you something really cool. Hallelujah. The things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Look at a minister of the sanctuary, of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. What is that tabernacle? The body of Christ. Corporately, it's the body. Individually, you're that tabernacle. He pitched the tabernacle in you. Do you get that? Because the tabernacle of God is with man, right? And every high priest is ordained to offer gifts, wherefore it's a necessity that this man have someone to offer. If he were on earth, he should not be a priest. Why would you want to go up on the Levitical priesthood? He couldn't even go there. I'm following Jesus. He's a Levite. No, he ain't. I want to keep the law. He didn't. He fulfilled it. You know the difference? He says, you observe days, months. meats, drinks, all perished with the using. All that's fulfilled, foreshadowing. It's all in Him. It's Christ is your fullness. He's your fullness. He served as example of the shadow of heavenly things. The whole tabernacle, Levitical priest, were all serving as an example of foreshadowing of heavenly things. Verse 6, but now he's obtained a more excellent ministry. By how much also he's a mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. And, you know, we hear a lot of that around the financial arena. What's established on better promises? Well, they had the financial covenant in the Old Testament. The better promises was that all this is going to be in you now. The better tabernacle that they served under the law, under ritual. Well, God did away with that, and he brought the indwelling presence of the Father in you. That was the better promise. God got to move inside. Amen. Now, look at this. For verse 7, for the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel. Now look at verse 10. This is the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws into their mind and write them into their hearts, and I'll be to them a God, and they shall be to a people. So he says, this is the covenant. Now, I want to show you this prophesied in Ezekiel. This covenant in Ezekiel, he says something a little different here, which is pretty awesome. Verse 26, we'll close with this. I will make a covenant of peace with them, the same covenant he's talking about in Hebrews 8. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. In 8, he said he wrote his laws within you. Watch what he says here. I'll give blessings to them. I'm reading out of the Amplified. And multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forever. You see that? I will set my sanctuary in the midst of them, and then I'll write my laws into their heart. I'll set it into their heart. Oh, I love that. My tabernacle or my dwelling place shall be with them. I will be their God, they shall be my people. Isn't that good? See, God foreshadowed all the tabernacle of the whole Testament was foreshadowing the day that the Father could move into us and set his tabernacle within us and dwell in the midst of us and manifest his glory in us and through us. See, your heart is the meeting place of the Most High God. Your heart is where he meets you. Your heart is where he manifests the glory. And then your heart is where he'll manifest the glory. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water to come out of your temple, see. Where did the living waters of Ezekiel 47 come out of? They came out of the temple. The waters are going to come out of the temple. See, one thing I desire, to dwell in your house. See, come into the house and dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold his beauty. His beauty is there. He's there. When you meet with him inside, the beauty of the Lord will be there. The beauty of the Father will be there. And to inquire, to offer supplication, that's where your answered prayer is going to be. Now notice where he offers the supplication, in the temple. You know, they went into the temple. The high priest especially went into the temple and offered that atonement once a year. But where the supplication was offered in the temple, not on the outer court. The body in the outer court, we're praying too much from the outer court, my friends. Listen to me. We're operating from outer court too much, and we're out here shouting at the devil. You go into the inner court, and then you offer the supplication, and you'll start praying from that place. You can't pray from a place you don't enter into. You see that? So take the time to enter in. Then you'll pray. I got a revelation. God said, pray in my presence. I'm like, well, I feel your presence. He goes, not that one. See, we got the presence of worship. Pray in my presence. Okay. Let's say this right here is the outer court. And that's the inner court right here, the altar. And back there is the Holy of Holies. Well, where's the Father? He's in the Holy of Holies. He said, pray in my presence. Pray where I am. What Jesus said, Father, I will they be with me where I am and you. There shall they be also. So here's what we do. We pray here in the outer court, right? We pray here because we haven't entered in to a new place. Now this is entering into the heart. This is the inner court. Bypass the door. This is the Holy of Holies. You see the difference from praying out there, praying in here? If you spend all your time out there, you're not praying in the presence. Pray according to His will, and we know that God heareth us. The Lord said, if you'll pray in my presence, a whole lot more will happen. Where did David say he entered into the temple? He beheld the beauty of the Lord in the temple, and he made his supplication in the temple. You see that? A lot of difference there. Amen. That's all of this whole arena is in your heart. It's here in the veil. And so when you enter in, but if you don't, if you get blockaded, then you operate out here. And then we wonder why we don't get the results. And we also get hammered out here. See, because in this one, the enemy has access to the outer court. But he can't go up in there. But he can go up in the outer court. Because your body is the outer court. Know you not, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost that dwelleth in you. Therefore glorify God with your body. You're bought with a price. You're not your own. So if we move up in there, things are going to change. Amen. We move up. We move in. How do I do that? Practice daily. I've given you three scriptures that I've used for the last 3 weeks. I'm quite certain I'll have another one next week. When they light upon you, you interact with it. You keep it. Fellowship with that scripture in your heart. Hold it there. Cultivate it. And that word will open that place for you. Amen. Let's give Him praise. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.